slanted to live righteously.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. It's time for another episode of The Culturaholics. It's episode number 168, where in the second and third block, we talk with Sarah Jade Woodhouse, trans woman, transgender, transsexual. What's the difference? We talk all about that and really great. So stick around for it. If it's something that maybe you haven't had too much familiarity with, I've never known anyone who is transgender, or maybe that makes you feel uncomfortable a little bit, that's fine. Listen to the second and third block. Really great. Sarah steps in and is really honest and patient with me as well as I stumble through figuring out the best way to say things and to address things and asking the questions that I feel like most people want to ask. So check that out in the second and third block. Right now, a couple emails before we get started. This one from Jeremy says, "Hey, brothers and sisters of the show in podcast form First Ward. I was listening to the story about Free BYU, and I learned something while Richie was speaking. I never realized the significance of the bell sound within the Cultural Hall show. I assume the sound was part of the commercials that you played. None of the wards that I've been a part of around the country have ever used them. In fact, the only bell that I can recall being used is at the ward my friend in England is a bishop of. Are dismissal bells common in Utah? Lastly, I'd love to throw a nickname suggestion for Janae. In the spirit of jokes on the show that go on and on and on, Rob's a DJ. How about calling her the new girl? I think that would be fantastic. By the way, I think that she's a good addition to the panel. Thank you, Jeremy, the Florida Democrat Theater Mormon." Thank you for your email, Jeremy. This email from Kevin, he's checking back in. "Hi, Richie and others. Yes, I'm still listening to the show. I'm glad you're thinking of me by mentioning my name in articles of news. I've just been really busy lately, but I thought I would comment on some things. First, I agree with the person 100% who sent a hasty email about Lucy crying. Lucy is one of our panelists, Lindsay's child, who was on a show a couple weeks ago and was crying in the background. Says, I have no problem with hearing a baby making noises in the background of the show. It's not like you are going into syndication or something like that. One of the great things about a podcast or show on the internet is that people can do them the way they want. At this point, the FCC or some other agency hasn't come out and told you folks how to do a show or a podcast. It would be one thing if Lucy was crying so loud during the show that you couldn't hear what was being said, but some noises and a little crying is fine on the show. It makes the show sound natural. Besides, I think the Savior would welcome the noises and occasional cries on the show. After all, he loved spending time with children. I also want to comment on an article you read last year about Saturday's Warrior. I read the article where the cast is being redone this summer. While I have issues with Saturday's Warrior, I think it would be a good idea to have Lex Di Azevedo on the Cultural Hall. I would be interested to know what inspired him to write the play. I also think you should interview the person who played Jimmy in the movie Saturday's Warrior. He was the perfect person for the character. Many people forget that the person who played Jimmy played the resentful brother on the Prodigal Son video. The person who played those people just seems so theatrical. It makes me wonder if he's that way in real life. It would be interesting to interview him. One more thing about Saturday's Warrior from my viewpoint. Bob and Carol Flenders seemed like the people that if you came over to their house, they would feed you dinner or something like that. They just gave off that vibe during the movie. As far as the word of wisdom is concerned, I think that herbal tea, I drink herbal tea when I can. I do draw the line with black tea. I don't drink green tea that much either. However, someone bought me a green drink from the store. I asked the person what was in it. One of the ingredients was green tea. I drank it anyway because this person had already spent the money on the green drink. It wasn't like I was drinking alcohol or coffee. Speaking of tea, I will tell you what you want to stay away from. The Arizona Sun tea that you buy in the store. Some also refer to it as Arizona green tea. That is worse for you than a lot of black tea. Arizona is loaded with sugar. It has 24 grams of sugar in it," continues Kevin. "It also comes in a can twice the height of a soda. I've had the Arizona green tea years ago. I'm not going to lie to you. It sure tastes good, but is loaded with sugar. This, along with other reasons, is why I quit drinking it. Anyhow, I will talk to you later." So let's get to this. The second and third block, we're visiting with Sarah Jade Woodhouse. You can always send me an email, richie@theculturalhall.com. You can follow us on Instagram, @theculturalhall. You can find us on Twitter, especially with LDS Conference Weekend, @theculturalhall and #LDSConf, C-O-N-F. You can find us on Facebook, and as always, just find us online at theculturalhall.com. Enjoy the second and third block of The Cultural Hall.
Hi, this is Dan, the laptop man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City, where all of our computers have been hand-built in Utah for over 21 years. I've got the most amazing deal on the planet for you. The PC Laptops S1 desktop computer. It's a PC Laptops desktop computer covered forever for $799. It has a blazing fast processor, so it's perfect for home, business, or school. A computer is only as good as its warranty. So how long is its warranty? 1 year? 10 years? Hang on. It's lifetime parts and labor. So everything is covered forever. Viruses, hard drives, RAM, everything. How much does it cost? $799. It's only $799. That's right. $799 for a blazing computer that's warranted forever. You have nothing to lose. Quantities are highly limited, so run into any one of our 8 locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. At PCLaptops.com, we love you.
It's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and visiting now with Sarah Jade Woodhouse. Now, maybe that name doesn't sound familiar to you. As I've done some research, I found that we have several mutual friends. But I want to preface this whole episode as visiting with Sarah to let you know that though I consider myself to be incredibly open-minded about a lot of things, in this particular subject, I feel tremendously ignorant, and my ignorance probably breeds insensitivity, and for that is why I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Awesome.
Because I, you know, even as I speak in the introduction, I'm not sure necessarily how to introduce you as a person.
I consider myself a trans woman.
A trans woman.
Yeah. Under that transgender umbrella, there's so many classifications.
Right, and I can't seem to wrap my head around exactly what each one is, and then I know that, like, if I say a transsexual, that's something different than transgendered, and I go, what am I, is this, now I've ruined it already. So when you say you consider yourself a trans woman, what does that mean?
So transgender, of course, being this umbrella that covers all sorts of people, it basically, transgender is anyone who does not fall into a gender binary type of situation.
Okay, right? Dumb it down for me, because you've already lost me.
Gender binary means, like, for centuries we've figured that there's just male and female.
Right.
There's a gender binary, and the truth is that it's quite a bit more varied than that.
Okay.
So underneath the transgender umbrella, you have cross-dressers, you have gender non-conforming people. Those are people who don't particularly want to fit into either one of those gender binaries, right? Mm-hmm. They are very fluid, gender fluid. You also have, as you mentioned, transsexuals. We kind of abandoned that word back in, like, it's quite late, actually, for me, because I didn't discover the word transgender until after the 90s.
Okay.
And I think
I'm a little outdated, but not terrible.
Not terrible. Because I think the reason we abandoned transsexual is because it makes it sound so much like it's about sex.
Okay.
Right? And it's not. It's really about gender. So transgender. However, you find a lot of trans women, like myself, re-embracing the transsexual.
Okay.
Because our experience is not necessarily the same experience as a gender non-conforming person or a drag queen or king or a cross-dresser. So you find women like me either embracing trans woman, right, because we feel ourselves to be women.
Okay.
But there's the trans that needs to be in there, or transsexual. So I myself don't really care between the two. Trans women I use in the public forum. Transsexual doesn't offend me if someone calls,
but there are people
transsexual
that would take offense at transsexual. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was afraid of. And then look what I went ahead and did.
It's all good.
So to make it very clear then for people that are listening, so born a man and now a woman.
Yeah. And that's kind
and,
of
and even yeah. and even that kind of and even misnomer, that you hear right. that and go right. well
not necessarily,
not necessarily. Right. So what I like to do in talking about this is kind of just take it sort of chronologically and tell where we're at today. Okay. So give me an idea of who you are. Born and raised in Utah.
Yep. So I was born in, I was actually born in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
I was adopted right away. And so I don't have any memories of Portland actually. So I was flown to Utah and raised in Salem, Utah, small
okay.
town.
Small town, Southern Utah County.
Yeah.
Yep.
Southern Utah County. Very small town. And from about the age of four, when I saw my, friends starting to separate into gendered groups, right? Boys playing with boys, girls playing with girls. I always felt that I didn't really belong with the boys,
mm-hmm.
right? But I knew that socially, people didn't really let me hang out with the girls much. I mean, I remember around this same age, I asked my mom if I could spend the night at one of my girlfriend's houses.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, no, no.
Yeah, that's not how this works.
And I'm like, why? And she goes, well, you're a boy and boys don't sleep over at girls' houses. And I was like, well,
yeah. Well, wait a minute.
Wait, that doesn't work. But I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was. And I also knew that being different in a small town was not something you wanted to be growing up.
Right.
Especially because kids can be cruel.
Yeah, kids are terrible.
Right. And so I didn't want to be teased. So I found a way to act the part. And it wouldn't be until way later when I was at Utah State getting my bachelor's. And I was cast in a play called Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean.
Okay.
And in there...
Besides being the longest title of a show ever.
And in there, there's a character named Joe. And in the flashbacks and in present day, that character's name is Joanne.
Mm.
So my director, bless her heart, said, you need to research this. And at that time, they called it a condition, which, of course, we wouldn't call it that today.
Right.
You need to research this in order to best represent this character. And it was then that I learned about the term transsexual and light went off in my head. And I went, oh, my gosh, that's me. And then, of course, the next thought was, no way, I'm not going to be that, because at the time it was still, you know, the fodder Jerry Springer.
Yeah, give me an idea, a timeline where we're at.
93, okay. 94, early 90s. So this was still, transsexuals were still considered freaks and part of the Jerry Springer circus and all of that. And I didn't want any of that. So
give me an idea of household. Parents religious?
Yes. I was raised LDS, very religious. My father was a bishop and later on a stake mission leader.
Mm-hmm.
I was always very active, served a mission, went to South Africa for 2 years.
Really? Johannesburg?
No, Cape Town.
Oh, Cape Town.
Yep.
How was that?
It was awesome. I loved it. At the time, there were just the two missions. There was Joburg and Cape Town, and I went to Cape Town. So... excuse me. But I loved it. It was awesome. For me, being on a mission represented two things. It was just nice to be in another country and be teaching. And
have a different experience.
Have a different experience. And I also didn't have to worry about gender at all. I didn't have to worry about dating. Didn't have to worry about being with this person because society says I have to be with that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, it was so freeing. For 2 years, I could just concentrate on teaching.
And how was it? As far as a mission goes, is it fairly successful?
I don't count numbers.
Well, sure. No. And I don't mean that. But I mean, did you come away from it going, you know, I really felt like I had an impact on the people of South Africa?
I do. I think I learned a lot about the country, which was awesome, right, about the people and their cultures. And I felt like, you know, I made a lot of good friends there, a lot of good connections, and hopefully, I mean, you never really see your impact, right? I mean, 2 years is not very long. Who knows how many people I reached or touched while I was there, but I feel good about it. I feel good about my mission.
So then you come home, and then you're at Utah State, and you're doing college.
State.
You get this role, and it's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, oh... no, I'm not going to be that. So I fought it, continued to fight it.
How does one fight that?
deny, right? Push it down. I'd gotten really good at acting the part of being a man, so I just continued to push it into the back of my head. A lot of prayer for me, a lot of contemplation, a lot of occupying my mind with other things.
Right.
Eventually, I would move down to Salt Lake and pursue an acting career both on stage and in film. And
I was going to ask, accompanying with it, is it also the attraction towards men?
Yes.
Okay.
So I am attracted to men.
Okay.
And that actually...
So was that a question of then... Because, I mean, I think that's where, to some, maybe it's confusing, where it's like, okay, maybe that's just homosexuality instead of this trans woman. Like, how do you, you know, do you feel like you have to have the one in order to justify the other? Because it's like, I believe in men and women, but, well, I'm a man and I like that man, so I guess I'll be a woman.
Yeah. And no, that...
again, not any of this intended to offend, but I think it's questions that certainly I have, and I can't be the only one.
Right, and I think a lot of people have those questions because, again, along with that gender binary that I talked about, we tend to couple sex and gender in the same thing. Right? Your gender is male, your sexual attraction or your sexual orientation has to be with a female for heterosexual. Right. And in reality, those two things are in totally separate areas of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So my gender identity, how I feel myself to be intrinsically, has nothing to do with my sexual orientation, which is why I can be a trans woman and be attracted to women, and thus I'm a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a trans woman and I'm attracted to men, then I'm straight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that works. So yeah, I pursued a film and acting career and then eventually had outgrown the state according to everybody that I worked with. So I was considering moving. And at the time...
Give me an idea. How old are you at this time?
I am... Let's see. This is 98-ish. So I'm... Wow. Now I have to do math.
No, you don't have to tell me how old, but yeah. 98. Okay.
98-ish or so. Actually... 97, 98 is when this is.
Okay.
And so I was looking at New York or LA, right? And I was going to go audition in New York for grad schools. And at the time I was in a singles ward and I had met this girl and we were we became really fast friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, well, I love her so much as a friend. Maybe if we get married and I have sexual relations with her under the bonds of marriage and we're sealed in a temple that it'll fix everything. Mm-hmm. Right. So I decided
to fix marriage.
Yeah. Fix marriage. So I decided to stay home and get married and I got married and, it didn't change anything.
What?
Yeah. Didn't change anything. So
now,
then I
was
thought,
this prior to getting married, was this something that you had a conversation with her about saying, hey, you know what, just so you know, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's kind of going on with me. Or was it all,
I didn't, and I probably should have, but at the time I wasn't even out to myself, really.
Right.
I mean, I was in denial, right? And in my mind, I was like, it's a sin, it's going against God, I need to tamp this down, and the way to fix it is to have a healthy heterosexual relationship with a woman that I care deeply about.
Mm-hmm. Which you did.
Which I did. Mm-hmm. And it didn't change anything.
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, maybe if I have a family, that will change things. So we ended up having a daughter, which was my miracle child. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And that still didn't change anything. So the straw that was the last straw for me was when I started to see this woman who I cared so much about start to doubt her ability to attract me.
Mm.
She thought, you know, I've gotten ugly or I'm not, you don't find me attractive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And that was killing me. I was like, I couldn't have that happen. So it was at that time that she was the first person I ever told.
Mm.
I came out to her. We'd just finished saying our nightly prayers and I ended up not getting up off my knees. And just told her everything at that point, and we cried a lot. And the next morning, I heard her crying as she was getting ready. And I went in and said, don't worry about this. This is my problem. I'm going to fix it. Everything will be okay. And so that it was at that point that I went to my bishop. And my bishop was so funny. He said, I just don't understand why you can't just be the best woman in a man's body you can be.
Yeah.
So, well, I was like, it's not, it doesn't appear to be working.
Yeah. So, listen, I'm trying. Yeah. I've tried. Yeah. But it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Mm.
So he sent me to a LDS social services counselor, which most people, when I say that, they groan, mm-hmm. right? But this gentleman, I told him my whole story, and he just said at the end of it, this is two things. You're not sick. I can't cure you.
Right.
And this is just who you are, and you have to figure out what you're going to do about it. So from there...
hang on real quick.
Yeah.
As you were telling the story about getting married and then hoping for the fix and then having a kid and hoping for the fix, yeah. My mind in a lot of these situations can't help but like create the situation in my mind where it's like, all right, push. All yeah. right, here comes a baby. Huh? Is this, do I feel yeah. changed? Is this different? Was this the thing? Has it happened? Was there any dust? Has the dust settled? Am I okay? I did this. Oh no, yeah. I'm still the same.
Dang it.
So then yeah. you had to, so then you had to figure it out.
Yeah.
The LDS social services, which again, I've heard, right. I've heard both very positive and terribly negative things about,
And for me, it was positive.
Right.
It was good. And eventually, you know, I'd still struggle on for another year or two, but eventually
staying married.
Yeah. Eventually we decided, you know, she needed to be able to be in a relationship where she was fulfilled, mm-hmm. right? And I needed to be able to go find a relationship where I was fulfilled. And so we separated, eventually divorced. I started living full-time as Sarah
mm-hmm.
and have been living full-time ever since. So
I want to talk about what it means to be full-time Sarah, and then we'll continue on. But let's take a break for just a second and come back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
All right, so full-time Sarah, I like that. It's almost like the name of the one-woman show that you've yeah. written. It's full-time Sarah. You say you stayed married after that situation where you guys had your evening prayers and then just had it out on the line, but kept trying to work it out.
Yeah.
Until ultimately, just
yeah. Ultimately, you know, we had to. For the sake of both of us, I think, mm-hmm. And for the sake of Kira, my daughter, mm-hmm. We needed to separate and then eventually divorce. So, like I said, I started living full-time as Sarah in 2005.
So now does that mean, because people are wondering, I'm sure, when you say full-time Sarah, does that mean like you're dressing as a woman and please call me Sarah, or does that mean like... I went to the doctor and what I had, he took away. And then, you know, I mean,
right. No, no.
And is there a distinguishing, can you be a trans woman without having the surgery?
That's a very good question. And the short answer is yes.
Okay.
You can be a trans woman without having the surgery. And, people,
is there a different term then for someone who would be a trans woman who's had the surgery? Like, is it's like full-blown woman
yeah.
and then like, well, almost a woman, you know? Or
no, there's okay. not really a distinction made. I mean, some people might classify themselves as before the operation or I've had the operation. But mm-hmm. usually the operation is not part of the identity.
Okay.
Right? I mean,
okay.
People, if people ask, some people... don't talk about it. They say that's a very personal thing, and I don't really want to talk about it. For me, I've always been so open that it doesn't matter if somebody asks, I'm going to tell them everything.
Well, now you're so open, but for a long time you weren't.
Right, that's true. But as soon as I transitioned, I mean, I think that, and that's what I mean by full-time, is that I transitioned and started living my life as a woman. I dressed as a woman. I went to work as a woman. I mean, the interesting thing is I was always a woman. Uh-huh. I guess when I transitioned, I just kind of let myself go and be free. And because of that, I became more free in my expression of who I was to everyone. So instead of hiding for so many years, I went the opposite direction. I was like, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you anything. Right.
So how does it work? In transitioning, you decide, you know what, I'm going to go, which I still love the term full-blown Sarah. So you're like, okay, I'm going to start going to work like it, you know, as a woman. How old was your daughter at this point?
She was 5.
Okay. So to me, the big kind of elephant in the room is it's like, hey, I'm here for work. And yesterday I dressed as a man in man type clothes. Yeah. And today I'm still the same person, but you can call me Sarah and I'm a woman.
Yeah. For me, it was lucky because at the time I was, well, and still now I work for Salt Lake Community College.
Okay.
So I transitioned between semesters.
Okay.
So it was November-ish. School was getting out. We spent December off, of course, and when I showed back up for class in January, I was Sarah.
Right.
So
did you get people going, there is something different about you. Hold on. I will place it. There is something, you know, hang on. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, because, I mean, first of all, I have new students every semester. Uh-huh. So that wasn't, you know, nobody held over from the previous semester. Secondly, I never made it an issue in class. So I would just show up to class. Now, and I still have this problem today, one of the issues is that in the catalog, since I have not had my name legally changed yet, in the catalog, it still lists the teacher of the class as my old name.
Uh-huh.
So when students show up to class, I immediately just go into class and I write my name on the board and I put the section of the class that they know, that so they know they're in the right class, but there's a different name up there.
Right.
And then I say, yes, you are in film and culture, or yes, you are in intro to film, and this is my name, Sarah Jade Woodhouse, and yes, the catalog got it wrong.
Yeah.
So let's move it on.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't even, I just tell them, don't use the email address associated with the course because I don't get it.
Right. Right?
It doesn't come to me. Just use this email address.
So are students even aware then?
I used to think that they had to be. Mm-hmm. Like when I first transitioned, I thought everybody has to know.
Right.
I mean, there's no way I quote unquote pass, right? Right.
Well, and to go with that, you know, as we, and you can see the image that we shared on our website, theculturalhall.com. Yeah. I think you pass great. Like I you know, it.
Thank you.
but it's one of those things where again, it's sort of not uncomfortable, right. And it's totally me. I own it 100%. But I just kind of go, okay,
yeah.
You know, and I don't. And the most frustrating thing is, I don't want to be weird about it or uncomfortable about it. But I just, like, I'm not familiar with it enough. I don't have enough interaction that I find myself stammering and stuttering. Right. And then I feel like that's so offensive to be like, yes, ma'am, sir, ma'am, sir, you.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there were any gentlemen or you're, you know.
No, I totally understand. And you know, as a side note, I think that, and you'll find a variety of responses within the trans community because there's as many different trans people, there's as many different experiences as there are trans people, right? So my personal opinion is as long as the person is honestly and compassionately asking the question, I don't mind the question being asked. There's a difference between being rude about it and being, I want to make sure that that I am being considerate and I am being polite.
Right.
And there's, I think there's no problem in my mind with asking the person, what is your preferred gender pronoun?
Right.
What would you prefer?
Right.
That I refer to you as. I think if you're asking that in an honest and open manner, then I welcome that. I'm like, awesome. You can use she, her, and hers with me. That works nice. Great. You know? So, yeah.
So with your class, you don't, you know, maybe they don't.
I used to think they did. I used to think there was, and then it wasn't until many semesters later that I had a student repeat a class. He went, not repeat, but he went into a different section of mm-hmm. my, he went from intro to film to film and culture. And he came to the class early one day and we were alone in the room and he said, I want you to know you had me really confused last semester. And I was like, oh, really? Tell me more.
Yeah. You know?
And he said, well, one of the girls asked me how I felt about, you know, you in the class and everything. And he said, well, I said to her, she's attractive for an older woman, which I was like,
yeah. You're like, what's up?
Well,
what's
awesome. Up? And then she said, no, but what do you think about her? And then she went into detail about who I was, mm-hmm. right? And he said, I had no idea.
Hmm.
Said, you had given us the movies that you had done, and I went and looked you up on IMDb, and I figured to myself, well, maybe she just likes playing male roles. I mean, because yeah. there's a lot of male roles yeah. on my IMDb. But he said, I had no idea. And it was then, that was the first time that for me I went, oh, well, maybe I pass better than I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have no idea how many students know and don't know, right? But it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
It's not about me. So,
what about as far as church goes? Raised in the LDS church, yeah. So what's that experience like now?
Well, for me, it's really positive. And I think it's largely to do with my coming out was very positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the LDS social services therapist right down to every bishop I've had, every stake president I've had. They've always said to me, no matter what happens, you always have a safe place to come and worship. As long as I'm bishop or as long as I'm state mm-hmm. president. And I was like, that's why I'm still active. That's why I go to church every Sunday. And for me, it's a very positive experience. That doesn't mean that there hasn't been negative experiences
sure.
along the way, but there's so few and far between that I still am very LDS.
Do you, now we're going to get personal for a little
okay.
bit, not that we haven't already. How does that work as far as like temple recommends and stuff like that? Are you able to have and keep a temple recommend?
I am able to have a temple recommend. And I could even go to the temple. But right now, because my records in the church
mm-hmm.
show me as a priesthood bearing male,
mm-hmm.
I would be required to, and not to go into too much detail on the temple ceremony, but it's very gendered for part of it.
Sure.
I would be required to be with the men
mm-hmm.
during the gendered portions. And to me, that's, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I'm worthy and could attend the temple, I don't go for that reason.
Okay.
Now, the way I understand it, and again, most of this is hearsay, but the people I hear it from are relatively authoritative. I've
mm-hmm.
heard it from bishops. I've heard it from missionaries, both in the field and returned. I've heard it from members of the church and even some stake presidents, that there have been cases where women like me have been able to, when we have the sex confirmation surgery, which is how it's termed these days, when we have that,
Is that the old-timey sex change?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yes.
The sexual confirmation
surgery.
Okay.
Or
I like the newer terms a lot better because
yeah.
I feel like, oh, yeah, you transsexual sex
yeah.
change. I feel like it's
yeah.
like, you know, dropping the N-word or something
dirty.
Like that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, my gosh, no, I don't mean to, but I don't know.
Makes
don't
you
know.
Feel dirty after saying it. Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. And it. Sometimes, like, I say sex confirmation surgery. Again, that's probably a misnomer. I make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gender confirmation
okay.
surgery. So, just to be clear on that. But, there have been cases where women like me who have had the gender confirmation surgery, of course, when you have that, you're excommunicated.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, that makes complete sense. because right now, again, as I said, I have a record on the church as a priesthood-bearing male.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to, in order for that record to go away, it needs to be expunged. And
sure.
the way you do that is excommunication.
Sure.
So that record goes away. These women have been able to be rebaptized.
Really?
And in some instances have gone on to marry their spouses in the temple. So that's not church doctrine.
Sure.
That's, again, hearsay. And that's my hope. That's my dream, right, is to have the gender confirmation surgery eventually, be rebaptized, go on to have my endowments restored and be married someday. Whether that happens or not does not make me is not a determining factor in whether or not I stay LDS.
Yeah.
Right. If I can't get married in the temple, I'll go get a civil marriage and remain LDS. So
I don't know what I want to say right there. is it difficult? I don't know. I to hear such a positive experience and belief and testimony with the LDS Church and considering the situation, it's fairly uncommon.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Maybe I just need to give you a pat on the back. Maybe that's what the pause was right there.
Well, and to be fair, my experience is not everyone's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate, I think, because trans people are good people,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think, by and large, a lot of the negative responses are because people just don't understand.
Right.
Like you said, I mean, it's not something that is in the public language all the time, right? So the majority of the world still just doesn't understand transgender.
You know, people would say, and I've heard this before, not from any of my friends or anyone who's my friends anymore, but, you know, they say things like, well, God doesn't make mistakes. If he wanted you to be a man, you'd be a man.
Yeah.
And a woman, woman. Yeah. There's not trans this or bi this. It's he had one and he
one
had another.
Plan.
It was Adam and Eve. It wasn't
Adam and Steve.
Adam and Steve or Eve and, you know,
Adam
Evelyn or whatever.
Or
yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You've obviously heard that before.
Yeah. And the church has their doctrine, their proclamation on the family,
mm-hmm.
right? Which says that gender is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, gender is eternal.
Right.
It's absolutely
You're not disputing
eternal.
That. You're
I'm
like,
not
yeah.
disputing that. But we do know that nature surprises us sometimes,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we have people in this world who are born missing a limb or with a cleft palate, or we have people who are actually born with both genitalia,
mm-hmm.
right? And some who are born with no genitalia. So if the gender of our soul is eternal, but nature can do these things with our body,
mm-hmm.
then I believe that it's just as possible for a female soul to end up in a male body as it is for all of those other things to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't believe that a person who's missing a limb, that their soul is missing a limb.
Well, you don't.
Maybe.
I do.
Okay. All right.
No. You have a valid point. Yeah.
So that's how I look at that.
But certainly having heard that from people before.
Yeah. It's...
Again, like you say... And you know, not to stand up or defend those people, I think some of that is just like an ignorance or an ignorance. I don't mean like, oh, you're an idiot, like anything like that, but just genuinely going, you know, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. I really want to, but I have this belief that this is how God works.
Right.
Help me see how you don't feel like this is how God works. You know, it's interesting to point out, too, that what seems like for a long time, especially about homosexuality, the church went by the science or the nature of things. And it seems like in the last 15 years, you have not heard the church say, well, it's created, you know, have not tried to go about it from a science point of view.
Right. And science evolves, right, as we discover it, make new discoveries. And it seems to me like science evolves fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Theology does not evolve as quickly, right? But people who want to point to science as far as, you know, gender is concerned also have a problem because, and I think sometimes when people say, well, God intended you to be a male, if you were born a male, then you're a male, they are also not just using theology, but they're using their limited knowledge of what science says, right? Mm-hmm. Because I find this in my students. Unless a student has taken a gender studies course, they will more often than not believe that chromosome-wise, there's only XX and XY. Most people believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth about the science is that couldn't be further from the truth, right?
Okay.
There's XXX, there's XYX, there's XYX variant, there's so many different combination of those chromosomes. There's women who have Y chromosomes. So I think as our science evolves and as the younger generation learns that science, it becomes harder and harder for the younger generation to believe that, oh, well, there's just male, female.
Right.
So.
Well, it's like how within the church, you know, there have been surveys that have been taking about, and I by no means want to equate transsexuality with homosexuality, right, but attitudes certainly towards homosexuality among a younger generation have been like, hey, you know what, let them get married if they want to get married. And the older generations are like, no, never, we can't.
Well, and I've seen, and I'm sure you've noticed this too, I've seen the church's position on homosexuality evolve probably no less than 3 times over my lifetime, right? I mean, their initial response to homosexuality was, it's a sin and you can change it with reparative therapy, right? So
just attach this here and we're going to shock you.
We're going to shock you and you won't be gay anymore.
Yeah.
And then the church's position evolved to, well, okay, so it's not a sin and it's not a decision you're making. It's something you're born with, but it's an obstacle. And still with reparative therapy, you can overcome any kind of trial that you're facing. And then the church evolved their position again to say, well, we don't do reparative therapy.
Right.
Because the psychiatry community figured out that that's highly dangerous,
right?
And because people commit suicide due to that and everything, so you see the church's position evolve some. Obviously, their doctrine is still, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, and I don't know if that will ever change, but certainly I believe that their acceptance or their perception of homosexuality has evolved, and I think will continue to.
And I mean, even as recently as last week with D. Todd Christofferson talking about, you know, what people can on their social media, they can promote gay marriage.
Yep.
And then there's that kind of sticking point where it's like, but we can't be a part of an organization, but we can put it on our Facebook page. Well, okay, so that'll obviously evolve. But from the time of Prop 8 in 2008, I mean, just from 2008 to last week, that's a huge amount of evolving.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to say as heterosexual man here, you know, just love everyone.
Right.
But I genuinely tend to come back to that point where it's just like, you know what? Sin or not a sin, choice or not a choice.
Yeah.
Person, you know, chromosome this, person this. I don't think that it matters. Yeah. I can look at you and say, you know what, Sarah, I love you.
Yeah.
And I bet you have struggles. And you know what I'm doing right now? Sitting trying to get through my struggles, too. And it's not going to do me any better to be like, well, you know, I can't believe that you would deign to be this or choose this. It echoes to me over and over again that it's not the point.
We tend to some, and I can't use the universal we, because I also believe that there's no one opinion that is the same opinion for everybody, but I do think a lot of people tend to forget, like you say, that the main commandment that God gave us was to love each other, right? And if you love somebody, you don't judge them.
Right.
You just don't. So
hard.
You can believe what you want to believe, but you don't have to express, I love you, but I don't believe you're right.
Right.
Right? You just say I love you. That's it. You just say I love you and leave it and go on.
Yep. So as it stands now, you live here in Salt Lake, still going to church active. You're not, you have not yet had the sexual,
the gender confirmation surgery,
something you plan on doing, saving for?
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yep. Eventually I want to, but again, it's like $30,000 to $50,000 depending upon where you go. Sometimes you can get it for cheaper, but
you don't want that guy doing it.
Come on over here. Not to be too crass, but I don't want a bargain basement genitalia.
Yeah. No, that would be something you would probably want to spend the money on.
Get what you pay for.
Excited about that? Anxious to have it happen?
I'm excited about it, but I'm not.
Having that doesn't define you is what right. I, as
having that
we
doesn't
visit.
Define me. But of course, it's my ultimate goal. I don't think I'll feel complete without it. Now, not everybody, we talked about this earlier, not every trans woman feels the same way, right? Some trans women won't have surgery either because they don't feel they need it, or some people are just afraid of surgery. I mean, surgery is an intense thing. Some people are allergic to anesthetic.
Right.
You don't want to go through that surgery without anesthetic.
No.
So.
I wouldn't imagine so.
Not advisable. But for me, yes, that's my ultimate goal. But and I am excited, looking forward to it. But it's been so many years that it's not happened yet that I can't help but be a little disappointed either too that it's not happened yet.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 15.
And how is that
gosh?
Right?
she's gonna be 16 soon, and that scares the daylights out of me.
How does she deal with it?
She has been my biggest supporter ever since we told her when she was 5. Right? And the funny thing is people say, oh, don't tell children until they're old enough to take it. I say tell children as early as possible.
It you know, and that and with stuff like that, I'm sure that depends on the kid and how you feel, and you got to be.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to suss out your own situation. But for us, telling Kira at 5, I mean, her first response was, "That's weird," and then her next response was, "So does that mean we can play with dolls when I come over to your house?" And I'm like, "Sure." And then she was off running around playing.
Yeah,
she didn't care. She was like, "Oh, good, awesome, she's gone.
Cool,
right?
Dolls, see you later.
Dolls, see ya." But later on, she would absolutely have questions. And we always maintained that if she asked, we were going to tell her. We were never going to lie to her. So as she has had questions, her understanding of it has evolved over time. And it's evolved to the point where she understands and she believes and she just loves me. And she rises to my defense. She's like a bear.
Cool.
If you move against me, she will confront you.
Watch out.
And you better watch out because she's getting big. So
does she, and again, as I create these situations in my mind, as she leaves, it's like, I love you, Ma, Dad, Mom, Dad, Dad, so, Mom, so Dad,
I've,
Mom?
Yeah. I've always maintained with her that I'm her dad.
Okay.
She's only going to have one mom.
Right.
And that's her mom. And I'm her dad. And to avoid public weirdness, right? Because people might go,
yeah, love you, Dad. And they're like, yeah, wait, they're like, did anyone, who is anyone seeing to? Where the dad was in this?
Yeah. She just says, by Sarah. She just uses my name, Sarah, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then in private, when we're around the house or something, she uses Dad. And every now and again, we'll be out to eat somewhere or something. And somebody will say, so are you having the same thing as your mom's having? Or how nice it is of your mom to take you out to eat or blah, 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 blah. And we just kind of smile and go, yeah, it's awesome.
It sure is. Kind what of. Do you think about that, Dad?
Yeah. So,
did your wife get remarried or your ex-wife get?
She did.
Remarried?
Just recently. 2 years ago, I'm thinking. 2002 was when she got married. So.
And you guys have been she's been pretty supportive of you as well.
Our relationship has been up and down, right?
Because it's got to be difficult because you have the tie because of the child, but then there's also probably some hurt feelings and some issues like any relationship that didn't work out.
And I think she still in some ways blames herself, but she also still thinks that She still firmly believes that I was meant to be a man, so she doesn't believe that what I'm saying is true about myself. And today, this is a hard question for me, because today, as of today, our relationship is non-existent, and it's not due to anything she did. It's completely me. And I think, it was so weird, because for years I was her biggest supporter for finding a guy and getting married and moving on and having a relationship. And then when she finally did announce that she was engaged to Kira, Kira called me. It was on a weekend, and I just dropped her off, and she found out, and she called me just in hysterics, bawling and crying and saying, "They're getting married, and I don't want to be here anymore, and you have to come and get me," and blah, 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 blah. And I went back to the house, and I calmed her down. I said, "This is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Your mom's going to be happy, and I'm still going to be here, and nothing's going to change." Right. And got her calmed down, and then I went to drive away and just fell apart. And to this day, I've come to understand it a little better, but at the time I was like, well, why is this happening? I don't understand. I like men. Why am I feeling so devastated by my ex getting remarried? It even resulted in my Britney Spears moment. I shaved off, cut off all my hair, threw away my makeup, threw away all my clothes. I thought, I'm just going to take that leap of faith, and I'm going to go back to being a man, and I'm going to win her back, and we're going to be a family. And of course, that didn't happen. She got married, and I was in hell, basically.
Yeah.
So I eventually just transitioned back to find my own peace. And through a failing of mine, I am the kind of person that in order to get over a person, I need to live in a world where that person doesn't exist. And so I don't communicate with her at all. Kira's old enough that I don't have to do that. So that's kind of where we are with that now. And it's totally me. That's on me.
We've only got a couple more minutes, but I want to ask you, if there's someone that's listening that finds themselves in a similar situation, give them some advice for a minute.
I would say it's really important to be yourself. It really is. You can't, and being yourself is you have to make that determination as to what that is. What's your level of comfort, right? If you feel, because for me, it was either transition or die. I was suicidal. I didn't want to be there anymore. I was praying for God to kill me so that he could take me out of the picture. If you're feeling those feelings, you need to change. It's not healthy.
Right.
So, be true to yourself, be confident in who you are, and don't worry about what other people are going to say or what other people are going to do. I know that's easy to say, right?
But okay. Be true to myself. Perfect. Got it. Thanks, Sarah.
Don't do anything.
Problems solved.
But I also think that it's important to, there are groups out there that can support you, right? It's important to find the right one. There's always scary groups. You don't want to find the scary groups, right? But the Pride Center is a really good place to start. They have a lot of trans organizations that they can point you to. Stands for Transgender Education Association.
Okay.
Or Transgender Education Awareness. I can't remember exactly what that is, and I feel so bad. But T is
there's a
awesome,
really cool website called Google that'll help you find
Google
exactly what it is.
But T is an awesome organization. And there's a lot of really good links these days. Back when I was researching transgender, because transgender, the word didn't exist, I typed transsexual into the search engine. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You end up with a lot of really crappy sites, and it's not very good. If you type transgender, chances are you'll get some good sites, and you can go there, and there's forums that you can go into that will help you. There's just a lot more resources now than there ever has been, and I hope that continues to evolve and we get even more help, right? So I would advise you to hold on to what makes you happy. Hold on to your faith if that makes you happy. But definitely be who you are.
That's awesome. I think that's a good message for anyone. We ask everyone who steps into the Cultural Hall three questions. I'll ask those of you right now. The first one is, do you have a calling? And if so, what is it?
I don't have a calling.
Okay.
Yet.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make up one, what would you pick?
Sunday school teacher.
Yeah?
I love
for
to teach.
For the adults?
Either.
Doesn't matter?
Adults or kids. I just love to teach. So, yeah.
And then the final question that we ask anyone, and feel free to interpret this question however you will, but answer honestly. What is your favorite part of your faith?
Wow.
I know, right?
That is a hard question.
Bomb dropped, grenade team.
What is my favorite part of my faith? I think, believe it or not, the community. I think the Mormon community is so... When we say brother and sister, I think we mean it, right? It feels like a family, and I like that.
Well, Sarah, I appreciate you coming and being honest with us, and I have appreciated the conversation. I feel a little less ignorant about everything, but I appreciate you taking everything in stride as myself on behalf of other people and for myself, certainly trying to understand and be more loving and be, you know, more aware. We hope that this has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you aren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. And then when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show. Ow!